Oh Lord our God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated.
Well, good morning. I thought Cindy was going to break out and play, and if you're happy, you know it, you know? Your face will surely show it. Well, if you're happy, you know it. Let me see. There's three who look pretty happy out there. That's good. That's good. What a joy to be back with you here today. I'll tell you, I have to. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago I made the comment that some of y'all had made the comment about how much you thought I had aged? Do you remember that? Yeah. Well, I have already had an apology this morning, but not from one of the persons who said that, but from that person's spouse. I want to apologize on behalf of my spouse, so I'll take it. I'll take it, but what a joy to be here. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, a familiar passage and the familiar account in Jesus' life and ministry. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. If you have a Bible just like mine, it's on page 927. But I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles, turn to Luke 19, and stand with me as we give honor to this reading of God's holy word. Luke 19, verses 1 and following. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, or murmur, yours may say, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Father God, we just thank you now for this privilege to be here in this place for the sole and significant purpose of ascribing to you that which only you are due, to worship you in your splendor and holiness. And Father, I pray as we look at these few verses in your holy word, I pray, Lord, that we would put aside the challenges, concerns, disappointments, burdens, heartaches, things that are confronting us right now, weighing in upon us, pressing down upon us. I pray, Lord, that we would just lay them at your throne of grace, trusting you to deal with each one in accordance with your perfect will and purpose, and that we might focus on you right now. Father, thank you for the privilege of being here to bring forth this message, and may this message be your message spoken through your messenger. In your son's name I do pray now. Amen. I'm guessing Jack did about being in vacation Bible school, feeling like when Cindy was playing. But you're familiar with the little song, "Zacchaeus Was a Wee Little Man," you know? "Zacchaeus was a wee little man," right? "And a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and said, 'Zacchaeus, you come down.'" Thank you, Cindy. You're doing good. Cindy knows it. "For going to your house today." But you know, that's a pretty cute song. I mean, wouldn't you agree? I mean, you know it. We've sung it. It just sort of just rolls off the tongue. It's a pretty cute song. But very likely, Zacchaeus was not such a sweet little old man who folks enjoyed being around, who folks wanted to enjoy his company. The song seems to present him as such, but likely that's not the case. According to Scripture, in verse 2, Zacchaeus, I called him Zacchaeus, We're on good personal terms. You know, Zacchaeus was a tax collector in Jericho and in the surrounding areas. And he was, the scripture says, he was wealthy. In fact, the scripture indicates that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. Now, he was not a popular person because of his occupation, being a tax collector. Zacchaeus was not likely to enter, or if he did enter, he was not likely to win a Mr. Popularity kind of contest. Rome controlled the city, and when Rome controlled a city or a territory, the citizens of that area were under Roman control, and they were required to pay taxes to Rome. The government had a strategy of enlisting a local citizen, appointing that person as the tax collector, because that person would know the area. That person would know the lay of the land. That person would know who the wealthy people were and how to get the money from them. Those who might have been trying to, you know, have an offshore bank account kind of thing, to hide their money. He knew where they were, and he knew how and where they were trying to hide their money. The Jews despised Rome. Zacchaeus worked for the Roman government. Therefore, Zacchaeus was viewed by his peers as a traitor to them. The Roman government expected a certain amount of money to flow into the coffers on a regular basis. And they were sentenced. I understand, and I don't know, I didn't confirm this 100%, but I understand that as long as the expected amount of funds were flowing from an area into the Roman government, to the Roman treasury, anything over and above what was expected that was collected could be retained, could be kept by the tax collector. So, in other words, it was not really embezzlement, but it was first cousin to it, right? I mean, he could keep everything over and above what he collected and sent to the government. So it's sort of a street tax, if you will, that was expected that the Jewish citizens were going to pay to Zacchaeus, who in turn would forward a portion to the Roman government. At any rate, he was wealthy. He was very wealthy because of the position he held, having been appointed as such, as a chief tax collector by the Roman government. Perhaps you heard the story. This man has gone on vacation. He's there and walking along the beach, and he hears this female voice frantically crying for help. He looks back down the beach and he sees his young mother and her son. Her young son has apparently swallowed something. He runs up there, finds out he has swallowed a coin, and he is choking. And so the young man grabbed the young boy, about 5 years old, and he just started shaking. He turned him upside down, holding him by his ankles, and was just shaking him like this. And all of a sudden, the coin fell out. And the boy was fine. And again, breathing regularly, he was fine. And the mother was ecstatic. Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you for helping my son. You must be a doctor. He said, oh, no, ma'am. I work for the IRS, and I know how to get money out of people. Well, you see, Zacchaeus worked for the Roman Revenue Service, and he knew how to get money out of people in his role as a chief tax collector, and as such, he was not very popular. He was also, according to verse 3, if you'll notice there, he was a short man. Perhaps him being short contributed to his lack of popularity. Maybe he was bullied as a kid. Maybe he was the one who, when teams were being chosen, especially when a team wanted to win, he was the last one who was selected. You know, I don't know, but he was probably perhaps pushed around a little bit as he was a child, as a young man. He was maybe even ignored. Perhaps that contributed something to his attitude, which would be another reason why he was not a very popular person. As the chief tax collector, Zacchaeus had a lot of power. A lot of power. He had a lot of control over people's lives. He had a lot of authority to get into other folks' business. And I don't have to tell you, when somebody's getting into your business, you kind of want to shy away from that person, do you not? Can I get a... No, don't do that. But he was probably pretty lonely. Probably a pretty lonely person, which may have contributed to his attitude might have contributed to his lack of popularity. Maybe he was beset with depressions and hopelessness, defeat. I don't know. On the outside, Zacchaeus would seem to have the world by the tail. Everything going his way in terms of power, in terms of position, in terms of the size of his pocketbook. But inwardly, he likely was not a very happy camper. I'm reminded of Hank Williams' song, "I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry," right? Or maybe Celine Dion's song, "All By Myself." Well, he was probably all by himself. He was probably so lonely he could cry. Our text informs us, if you're looking there, that Jesus was passing through Jericho. And Zacchaeus, verse 3 says, wanted to see who Jesus was. But being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He didn't want to just kind of peer through the crowd. He wanted, and not only catch a glimpse of Jesus, he really wanted to see Jesus. Now, interesting, Jesus probably had been preaching and teaching and healing all through the region for some time before this encounter, for this situation. I don't know why Zacchaeus may not have had the opportunity to see Jesus in times past, but he really wanted to see Jesus. Maybe Zacchaeus had heard some folks talking about Jesus while Zacchaeus was there at the Jericho Starbucks getting that latte, right? Maybe he heard some folks talking. Maybe as he was collecting the taxes and people were in line at his tax booth, to pay their taxes, maybe he simply heard someone talking about Jesus. Maybe when he was down in the village square at one of the merchants buying some grain or some groceries, maybe he heard some folks there at the store as they're shopping, got pushing their little carts. Not really, but you know what I'm saying. You know, get the picture. Maybe he heard some folks talking about what they had seen Jesus do, what they had heard Jesus say. Maybe they had seen him heal someone, and he wanted to understand, who is this Jesus? The scripture says he wanted to see who Jesus was. But as noted earlier, according to the text, Zacchaeus had a small problem, pun intended. He had a small problem. He was short. Zacchaeus may not have been much more than 5 feet tall. I can kind of sympathize with Zacchaeus. You know, we sold some property for the foundation some months ago up in Chipolo, and the fella to whom we sold the property, he went by the name Big Lynn. He was a big man. He was probably about 6'5", 6'6", about 3 bills. I mean, he was a big man. And the first thing he said to me, "Why are you so short?" That's what he said, you know? But Zacchaeus had a small problem, and he was short. I mean, Zacchaeus was so short, he may have been the last person to know that it was raining, right? I mean, he was short. I mean, I've got a pastor friend who tells a story about a friend of his that he knew once upon a time who was close to 7 feet tall. And people were always asking this tall gentleman, "How's the weather up there?" You know, you've probably said that to somebody in the past, right? And the guy got so fed up, so frustrated with people asking him that question, that the next time somebody did, he just kind of cleared his throat and spit on the guy's head that asked him. He said, "I don't know, you tell me, but from up here it looks like rain," you know? The rest of y'all get that in a minute. Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was, but he was short, and he could not because of the crowd. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 informs us, he ran ahead of the crowd and climbed in a sycamore fig tree to see him because Jesus was coming that way. Have you ever gone to a parade? You probably have. Have you ever gone to a parade and wanted to get a good spot along the parade route so that you could see everything that's coming that way? All the action, the floats, the bands, especially if you have a child or a friend or another relative in the parade. You want to get where you can see what's going on. And sometimes there might be celebrities in the parade, right? And you want to see everything. I don't know. It could be a homecoming parade. It could be a Christmas parade. It could be a Mardi Gras parade. You know, we're kind of in that season upcoming. And I don't necessarily ascribe to everything that Mardi Gras is a part of or about in Saints Report, but I will say this. If you've ever been to a Mardi Gras parade in New Orleans, that is quite a sight. In fact, when we were in seminary down there, I had two little boys. The oldest one was about 7 at the time, and there was, I don't remember which crew, I think you call it, was, but Chuck Norris. I mean, Walker, Texas Ranger, Chuck Norris, right? In fact, I watched 2 episodes of Walker, Texas Ranger last night on Get TV, I think it was. Great entertainment television. Because I like to watch Chuck Norris. Well, he was going to be the Grand Marshal of this particular parade. And my son, this was in the early 90s, he was 7 years old, and we watched Chuck Norris together because at the time, we were both taking Taekwondo. And so, it was a big deal. So, I took my son to the parade. And we had to park, I mean, way, way, way from where the parade route was. We made our way there, and, you know, there were some people that had ladders and had their kids up on ladders. Well, we didn't know. We hadn't thought to bring a ladder. Probably didn't have a ladder. And so doing what I think most dads would probably do, I hoisted my son up on my shoulders, which, quite frankly, didn't put him very high up, but it was higher than he would. So he would have more of a bird's eye view of what was taking place. Well, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't because of the crowd. So what did he do? The scripture says he ran ahead. In other words, Zacchaeus distanced himself from the crowd. Well, I don't think that truth in and of itself is the focal point of this account, the focal point of this scripture lesson. I do see an important lesson here because sometimes we do need to distance ourselves from the crowd. We do need to pull away from the crowd, particularly when the crowd is not going in the direction the crowd ought to go in accordance with the scriptural values and truth. But he ran ahead. He distanced himself from the crowd. The scripture says he climbed up in a sycamore fig tree because he wanted to be in that good spot. He wanted that bird's eye view. He wanted to be able to see who Jesus was. Why did Zacchaeus want to see Jesus? Well, it's hard to know from the text. But perhaps some of the same reasons that Nicodemus wanted to visit with Jesus. You know, curiosity perhaps. Admiration perhaps. Respect, perhaps, desire for information, all of those things and maybe more. But whatever Zacchaeus' reasons were for wanting to see Jesus, he took action in order to put himself in the best position possible in order to accomplish that goal. I wonder what Zacchaeus was thinking as he waited for Jesus to pass that way. Likely he was very excited. Perhaps his heart began beating faster as he saw the crowd coming his way from a distance. Maybe you heard the story about the man who went to the doctor's office for an appointment. And if you know, you've been the doctor, you know there's always that nurse or that person who comes in and weighs you and takes your blood pressure and all that kind of stuff, right? Well, the nurse asked him, said, how tall are you? He said, 6'2". She said, how much do you weigh? He said, 180. And so she took his blood pressure. His blood pressure was kind of elevated. And she said, you know, that's kind of high. We need to talk to the doctor about that. And he said, well, nurse, when I arrived, I was tall and slender. And now you're telling me I'm short and fat. No wonder my blood pressure's up, right? Well, I don't know if Zacchaeus was excited as the crowd approached, but likely his heart did begin to beat faster and faster, and maybe his blood pressure increased when Jesus stopped and spoke to him in verse 5. It says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. I mentioned earlier, I wonder what Zacchaeus may have been thinking when Jesus stopped. Jesus was passing along the parade route, route, and Zacchaeus was perched there in anticipation. At this point, though, Jesus stopped. He arrived where Zacchaeus was hanging out, and he looked up in the tree. Zacchaeus was probably thinking, he sees me. Point number one, he sees me. Jesus stopped at the tree where Zacchaeus was just hanging out, just out there on the limb. He sees me. Zacchaeus quickly realized that he could not hide behind a crowd anymore. Him being short would not work to his advantage in this particular situation. The reason that Zacchaeus had climbed the sycamore tree in the first place was so he could see Jesus. But now the coin has flipped. And he realizes that Jesus is looking at him. Jesus saw him. Jesus can help us understand how we are to see the crowd, one person at a time. But Zacchaeus, beyond thinking he sees me, Zacchaeus was probably thinking he knows me. Point number two, he knows me. As Jesus looked up at this short, unpopular, despised tax collector, he called him by name. Zacchaeus realized very quickly that Jesus not only saw him, that Jesus could not only see him, but that Jesus knew who he was. Remember, Zacchaeus had wanted to see who Jesus was. And now the coin again has been flipped to the other side as Jesus knew who Zacchaeus was. Friends, Jesus knows everything about you. Everything about you. Scripture informs us that he knows the number of hairs on your head. And maybe in some cases, the number of hairs not on your head. But Jesus knew that Zacchaeus was a lonely person. Jesus knew that Zacchaeus was an unpopular person with an attitude that was not the best. Jesus knew that Zacchaeus' outlook on life in general and his outlook for his own life in particular was not rosy and positive. Jesus knew that Zacchaeus needed a new beginning in life. So in the midst of the large crowd, Jesus stopped, the scripture said. Jesus looked up, the scripture said, and he spoke to Zacchaeus, calling him by name. So as Zacchaeus is realizing, he sees me. He knows me. And Zacchaeus also began to realize point number three. He wants me. When Jesus spoke to Zacchaeus, he encouraged him to come down immediately. Zacchaeus realized that Jesus wanted him. You may be familiar from your high school or college psychology classes, Abraham Maslow and the hierarchy of needs and all that kind of stuff. He was a behavioral scientist back in the 1940s. And he developed this list of human needs ranked in order of importance. Being loved was the primary element in this list of human needs. By extension, I would suggest that being loved and wanted are key elements of life that all of us desire, all of us need. Maybe Zacchaeus was unloved, unwanted as a child. I don't know. An article I read once upon a time a few years ago in the magazine Psychology Today pointed to Maslow's view that being unloved and unwanted is a wretched feeling, the article said, that can stunt one's growth and happiness. In addition, the article continued, being unloved and unwanted is, quote, about as low a feeling as anyone can experience. Sadly, whether a person is up and coming or down and out, our society often exhibits an attitude that people are not wanted, that they are not important, that they do not matter. Sometimes these unwanted are the elderly, the unborn, the mentally ill, the homeless, the incarcerated, the poor. Jesus, however, loves everyone regardless of their age or stage in life. Jesus wants to have a personal relationship with everybody. Have you ever heard the expression, up a creek without a paddle? You've heard that. The expression suggests that one situation is not good, and the likelihood of improvement is very slim. Zacchaeus was up a tree, seemingly. He was without hope. He was without much of a chance. He was somewhat helpless. Despite his position, his power, the size of his pocketbook, Zacchaeus was hurting. Zacchaeus was helpless. Zacchaeus was hopeless. Until he met Jesus. And Jesus offered Zacchaeus a new beginning. He sees me. He knows me. He wants me. And then when Jesus said, "Come down," Zacchaeus was thinking, "He needs me." Jesus saw Zacchaeus. Jesus knew Zacchaeus. Jesus wanted Zacchaeus, and Jesus needed Zacchaeus. Jesus said, the scripture tells in verse 5, "Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Perhaps because of Jesus' travels, he'd walked a great distance, and his continual teaching schedule, this long hours, he needed a place to rest for the next leg of the journey. Maybe he just simply needed a bite to eat. Regardless of the reason, Zacchaeus recognized that Jesus wanted and needed him, while in reality, Zacchaeus needed Jesus and the new beginning that could be had, could be experienced through a relationship with Jesus. Verse 6 tells us that Zacchaeus came down at once and welcomed him, that being Jesus, gladly. Notice the attitude of the crowd in verse 7. It says they murmured, they muttered about Jesus going to spend time with a guest who was a sinner. Now, that word sinner means to miss the mark. All of us have missed the mark. The scripture says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And what we deserve for missing the mark, the scripture tells us, in Romans 6:23, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice Zacchaeus' attitude in verse 8. His attitude changed as he experienced Jesus. He had a change of heart. He began traveling in a new direction, a new road. He began walking with Jesus. Zacchaeus had a new beginning in his life. Verse 9 tells us, "Today," Jesus said, "salvation has come to this house." Jesus was declaring the truth of John chapter 1, verse 12, to as many as received him. To as many as received him, he gave the privilege, the power, the right, the various translations, to be called children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Jesus was telling the truth of John 3:16. "Everyone who believes shall not perish." Everyone who puts faith in Jesus should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ, the scripture says, came to seek and to save that which was lost, verse 10. Zacchaeus, despite wealth and power and position, he was hopelessly and helplessly lost without Jesus. Zacchaeus is no different from all of us, folks. Without Jesus, we are helplessly and hopelessly lost. But because of his experience with Jesus, the Savior, he had a clean slate, a new beginning. His sin was forgiven. His past was forgotten. Jesus saw Zacchaeus. Jesus knew Zacchaeus. Jesus called him by name. Jesus wanted Zacchaeus, and Jesus needed Zacchaeus. Or more importantly, Zacchaeus needed Jesus. Some of you may be familiar with the song written by Tommy Walker and others, sung by Don Moen. It's just simply entitled, "He Knows My Name." You familiar with that song? "I have a maker." You know that, right? "He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in his hands.
He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call.
You know, there's been so much in the last few years in college sports talking about the transfer portal. You know, when I say transfer portal, you know what I'm talking about there. A player can just, it's just almost unrestricted free agency, basically. And they can just go from one school to another school. Used to be some rules that govern that, not so much anymore. And so a player might have an outstanding year at one school, and then he'll flip and go to another school. But a lot of times I think there is encouragement, you know, from coaches of other schools. They're trying to get them to flip from this particular school to come play on their team, and they'll promise them all this recognition and other kinds of things. Well, you know, like Zacchaeus, we need to shift. We need to flip, to alter, to change our direction. We might need to enter the transfer portal, so to speak, and get on the winning team. The team that is led, commanded by Jesus. We need to be on Jesus' team. All of us need Jesus. My question, or several today, I guess, are you up a tree right now? Are you out on a limb way out there that just might break off behind you? Without help, without hope, being unloved, being unwanted. Folks, Jesus offers help. Jesus gives hope. Jesus wants you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you, the Scripture says, in such a way that he gave his life for you. God demonstrated his love for us that while we were yet sinners, while we were kicking against the traces, as it were, Jesus died for us. Jesus died. He wants to have a love relationship with you, Blackaby says in his study Experiencing God, that is real and personal. Have you experienced Jesus? Do you have Jesus' saving power in your heart and life? I can't decide for you. I can only decide for me. You have to decide for yourself if you are going to commit to being a part of a new team. Or maybe you are a part of the team, but you're not really a part of the team. You're just got your name there, but you haven't been a contributing part of the team. Well, you know what? Maybe this is the day that you need to rededicate that relationship and say yes to Jesus in a new way, a fresh way. Maybe some of you here, I don't know, I've been gone for a while. Maybe some of you are visiting and you need a place to call home, a church home, a place to plant your heart, your life, your service, your ministry. Maybe, just maybe, Trinity Baptist Church, Vicksburg, Mississippi, Porter's Chapel Road is the place for you to do that. I don't know if you need to make a decision, what decision you need to make. But I believe there are here in this place today that there is at least one or three or five or more people who need to make some decision for Jesus today. He knows who you are. He knows your needs. He knows the decision you need to make to trust him, to serve him, to walk with him today. You remember 2 weeks ago, I said, when you walk with Jesus, you will never walk alone. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the time that we have had with you today. And Father, I pray that as we continue this time, that somebody here today might make a life-changing decision. Not just something temporary, but Father, a life-changing, a life-altering decision that lasts for an eternity. The present here on earth and the future with you for all of eternity. Father, I just pray that you would give guidance and wisdom and discernment. I pray you'll give courage for someone to step forward and say yes to you. Someone to renew a commitment that's grown a little stale, perhaps, to do that today. Father, I just pray for this church. I pray for the leadership of this church. I pray for future leaders. I pray, Lord, that you would raise up new leaders. Father, I pray that this place would be a beacon of help and hope in this community, bringing other folks to come to know your Son, Jesus, whose name I pray right now. Amen. Our hymn of opportunity is, without Him I could do nothing. Without Him I'd surely fail. Without Him I'd be drifting like a ship without a sail. As we stand, as we sing, you respond. I'll be here at the front to receive you.
Thank you, Brother Dan. Good to hear a message like that. Just a few quick things. I want to reiterate the small group for the young adults. It's February the 1st and February the 15th at 5 o'clock. And that's Countering Anxiety is the topic. And then the Valentine's Banquet is Friday, February the 13th at 6. And tickets are $10 for adults and $5 for children. And the tickets are going to be used as a project for Special Olympics. One of our own, Lisa Barefoot, her son is on the Special Olympics softball team. And he needs $500 for the trip to Minnesota. So we're going to use this as a project for him. And again, tickets will be on sale this afternoon back there. Also, we have a search committee. It consists of Marianne McGuffey, Ashley Harper, Mitch Martin, KB Brown, and myself. We ask that you put us on your prayer list as we struggle and try to find the man God has for us.
Always got a song to sing. Ain't it been good to be in God's house this morning? Amen. Ain't you glad that God, that Jesus lifted you and you're part of the family of God? Let's sing it this morning as we leave.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family.